Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, a lot of things happened at the annual Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas this week. I'm, of course, on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and they're all working their way back. Although I do have one of my own professors here at Southeastern, one of my ethics professors, who's pretty upset. I'm pretty upset as well about something that happened yesterday. Was it yesterday? No, it was. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday when they were voting and going through the different resolutions. This was resolution number 6 that got almost no attention. I found no articles, no commentary about it whatsoever, and it was brought about by Richard Land, who used to run the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission for the Southern Baptists. That's kind of their I wouldn't call it their political arm, but the ERLC, the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, does do a lot of kind of lobbying and information and education, and that's now run by Russell Moore, but before it was Richard Land. And Richard Land steps up to the mic the other day on Resolution 6, on reaffirming the full dignity of every human being. So a pro-life statement from the Southern Baptist Convention, supposed to represent all Christians, and great scriptural evidence and backing here, like in the beginning. Here's the beginning of this particular resolution. And then the amendment to it is what I want to talk to you about today. It's probably the most difficult thing to talk about when it comes to abortion. Because it's a life for a life kind of situation. We're going to get to that in a second. But my ethics professor here, who will wants to come on in the next couple of weeks, he's going to write a rebuttal as to what happened there in Dallas the other day on this particular issue. But he wants to collect his thoughts because he's going to be, you know, it's going to be kind of shots fired situation where one Southern Baptist leader is going to call out another Southern Baptist leader. So he wants to get his ducks in a row before he does that publicly. And I respect that and appreciate that. And he's one of my great professors here at Southeastern Baptist. So we'll get to that in the next couple of weeks when he comes back on. But here's what it starts with. Whereas in the beginning, the triune God chose to create humanity in his image and according to his likeness, such that God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Of course, Genesis 1. And it goes on through things like that. Whereas. Article 3 of the Baptist Faith and Message clearly affirms that human dignity is an inviolable status, stating the sacredness of human personality is evident and that God created man in his own image and in that Christ died for man. Therefore, every person of every race possesses full dignity, is worthy of respect and Christian love, right? We're all with that. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Dallas, Texas, June 12th to 13th, yada, yada, reaffirm the sacredness and full dignity and worthiness of respect and Christian love for every single human being without any reservation whatsoever. And be it further resolved. Now, here's the trick. Okay, here's what I have a problem with, and I'm going to see how you deal with it. So I'm going to open up the phones today. And hopefully you'll be willing to call in and talk about this and how you work through this personally. And please do not be afraid that I'm going to attack you, because I'm not. I'm not going to go after you. I'm just curious to see how you work through this particular subject underneath the heading of abortion. Okay, resolved that we affirm the full dignity of every human child and denounce every act of abortion except to save the mother's physical life. Okay, so he brings in the exception. The exception in the abortion conversation is almost always rape, incest, and the life of the mother. So you could be against abortion except for those things, rape, incest, and life of mother. Rape and incest, of course, a woman's been terribly abused and harmed violently in most cases, whether it be by a stranger in the case of rape or by a family member in the case of incest, and they become impregnated, they're pregnant, and now you're going to force them to be an incubation machine for the rapist's child, right? And so that's where that comes from. But the life of the mother, that's really where Richard Land, who brought this resolution up, went. And that's why he said this, you know, that we denounce every act of abortion except to save the mother's physical life. So my question for you today on Theology Thursday, and all the people at Southeastern are coming back. We've got the whole schedule booked really for July and August for Southeastern. And we've got some great shows that are going to come up on Thursdays. We're going to spend a lot of time with a couple of my favorite Christian counselors, Tate Cockrell and Kristen Kellen, who are just absolutely wonderful. And we're going to talk about a lot of difficult subjects this summer on the counseling table. We'll talk about divorce. We'll talk about teenagers and that kind of parenting stuff. We're going to talk about depression, anxiety, suicide, Christians and medication. We're going to get into all of that this summer, plus other professors out here at Southeastern. So we'll have a stacked schedule this summer for Theology Thursday, but being the huge convention, and Southeastern had a huge exhibit there, so they're all transitioning back from Dallas. But we're still staying on theology today and really basing it on what the kind of conversation that we should be having in seminaries and do, especially in the ethics department. But here today with you, how do you deal with this? How do you handle abortion exceptions? So to save the life of a mother, do you think, and if you do, why, that should be a legal case of abortion in order to save the life of a mother? Or do you think that regardless of the sadness and the tragedy of a mom literally risking her life in order to carry the child to term, do you think that's just the deal? That's just, I don't believe in abortion at all, not even for that, not even to save the life of a mother. And if you are a mother or contemplating being a mother, I want to hear from you as well. How would you work through that decision? And maybe some of you have. We've had miraculous testimonies on this show for years where people are willing to call in. You might be willing to call in and share when you made the yes or the no decision on this incredibly difficult situation. I don't think anybody can say anything less about it than that. Incredibly difficult. Something's going on with you, cancer. There's other things that can go on with high blood pressure where you could literally have a stroke late in your pregnancy. A chlamydiasmy or something like that is what it's called. And all of a sudden, you got to kind of, it looks like you got to make a choice between your life and maybe you have kids already and your husband. And they're all going to be without a mom or a wife in order to provide life for the baby that's in your womb. Well, how would you handle that? How would you work through it? What do you think about the exception for abortion in order to save the life of the mother? 877, get your own number, Steve. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, I am not in here today to argue with you and debate you and beat you up if I don't agree with you. I simply want to ask you to call in and share, how do you think through this as a Christian if that were the case? An abortion in order to save the life of a mother, and especially if you are a mom, how would you work through that? How would you work through, you're pregnant, you're 6-7 months pregnant, and all of a sudden they're telling you there's a high likelihood here that you could die, and which means we need to take this child out. We need to abort. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? Should it be allowed? And what do you think of the Southern Baptists saying that's okay all of a sudden? Well, many of you may be Southern Baptists. I go to a Southern Baptist church. I go to the Summit Church in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which our pastor, J.D. Greer, was just elected the other day by about a 69% to 31% swing to be the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And once I get a chance to sit down with J.D., we're supposed to have lunch in the next couple months, sometime this summer. I'll ask him about our topic today, which the other day, one of the things that happened at the Southern Baptist Annual Convention in Dallas is that Richard Land, who used to run the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, brought up a resolution in order to change the Southern Baptist official position on abortion. And it's one sentence where the change comes in, that we affirm the full dignity of every human child and denounce every act of abortion. That's where they've always been. Except, here's the change, to save the mother's physical life. So all of a sudden, the Southern Baptist Convention includes the exception to save the mother's life for abortion. So we're against abortion in all cases, including rape and incest, except to save the life of the mother. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that decision? How do you approach that decision yourself or that position on the issue of abortion, on the pro-life issue? 866-348-7884. Again, I just want to encourage you. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm not going to come at you if you take a position different than my position. But I just want to see how you work through it, especially if you're a mom. How would you think through this as a Christian? Perhaps you've been there. Maybe you had to make this decision, or you know somebody that went down this road. I would love for you, and all of us would be blessed by you calling in and sharing that kind of story. But how do you think about this issue and this exception for the life of the mother when it comes to the abortion issue? And if you're a Southern Baptist, How do you feel about now all of a sudden your convention, Mike, which happens to be the convention I'm a part of, has now embraced that exception for abortion? So we're against all abortion except to save the life of a mother. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Are you for or against that exception in the abortion debate? And especially now that the Southern Baptist Convention basically voted 80-20 the other day. So they have, just in case you're not a Southern Baptist, you don't know anything about this. The Southern Baptist Annual Convention, they have a pastor's thing for a couple days. Then they have delegates come in. These are basically delegates. They come in from different churches to represent the church, and there's all kinds of business stuff that goes on and reports from seminaries and things like that. But they also have proposals like changing out the executive people and like electing a new president basically every 2 years, and then they can do resolutions. They can propose new things that, hey, we want to say this as the Southern Baptist Convention, or we want to denounce that. There was a resolution that failed that they wanted to uninvite Vice President Pence, who spoke the other day at the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas. So that's what came up. And in this case, it was Resolution 6 on reaffirming the full dignity of every human being that they're adding the exception. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think the Southern Baptist did a good thing, or do you disagree with them that there should be no exceptions for abortion? Or do you think there should be? And especially if you're a mom, I would love to hear you chime in on this one and how you think you might approach this if it comes down to it. Here's from an article, conditions that might lead to ending a pregnancy to save a woman's life. What are we talking about here? Include severe infections, heart failure, and severe cases of preeclampsia, a condition in which a woman develops very high blood pressure and is at risk for stroke. That was said by Erica Levi, an obstetrician and gynecologist at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. There are certain cases where ending the pregnancy is the only option, cases where it would be putting the mother's life at risk to continue the pregnancy, she said. And of course, ectopic pregnancies, right? So an ectopic pregnancy after the sperm and the egg come together and you've got conception and then it's supposed to move down through the fallopian tubes down to the uterus, right? But an ectopic pregnancy, that very, very early embryo gets stuck in the fallopian tubes. And if it continues to get stuck there and continues to grow there, you have a rupture. And usually in most cases, you can bleed out. So they have to go in and remove that section of the fallopian tube. And then, of course, in doing that, this earliest form of human life dies. They've tried to figure out ways to be able to then reimplant it elsewhere, but I haven't been able to find anything online that shows that that's successful. But how do you think? What do you do with that? This is one of the most difficult things you can do, rape and incest. In this case, the life of the mother. Should that be the official position of the Southern Baptist Church, whether you think it should or not? It is now. So I'm just curious what you think about it. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I've got some statements from other surgeons, including former U.S. Surgeon General Everett Koop on this subject, and the thing that I want to get to eventually by the end of the show called the principle of double effect, which is all about intentionality, which is really important in this conversation, but I am curious to see what you think about it and how you would work through it. Let's go to our first caller today. Laura's calling in right here in my hometown of Raleigh, North Carolina. Laura, thanks for calling. Go right ahead. Hey, Laura, are you there? I'm going to put Laura on hold. I think we have her. Let me try that again. Hey, Laura, are you there? Hey, Howard, check that out. See if you can pull up Laura. Laura's on line one. 866-34-TRUTH is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. What would you do with this situation? Abortion in the case of trying to save the life of a mother. So Howard, if you can check on Laura there for me, that would be great. And then I'm watching these other phone lines and I'll pull somebody in right quick. So here's what C. Everett Koop, who used to be the former U.S. Surgeon General, protection of the life of the mother as an excuse for an abortion is a smokescreen. In my 36 years in pediatric surgery, I have never known of one instance where the child had to be aborted to save the mother's life. If toward the end of the pregnancy complications arise that threaten the mother's health, he will take the child by inducing labor or performing a cesarean section. His intention is still to save the life of both the mother and the baby. The baby will be premature and perhaps immature depending on the length of gestation. Because it has suddenly been taken out of the protective womb, it may encounter threats to its survival. The baby is never willfully destroyed because the mother's life is in danger. It's a former U.S. Surgeon General, C. Everett Koop. I'm going to go to Phil is calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks for calling in today. Go right ahead. Okay, Howard. So,
hello?
Oh, there you go. Hey, thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. Steve, I'm going to make this very, very short. I think that sometimes we go too far in being the Holy Spirit. So I believe that if a mother is in that position, then she should listen to the Holy Spirit that resides in her, and that should be between she and God.
Do you think that the Holy Spirit would ever tell you to do something that disagrees with Scripture?
I always look at Abraham and Isaac. And when Abraham was told to kill his son, he went to kill his son, but because God already knew that his descendants were going to come from Isaac, he still went on to do it because he knew God told him to do it. And God was the one that allowed that child to live, which we know is Isaac. Same thing. This is same thing. If a mother gets to that point where she wants to have an abortion, we don't know what God would do. So we leave it between the Holy Spirit and the mother, and it is a decision she makes with God.
Got it. I understand. I'm up against the break, so I got to run, but thank you for calling in and sharing that. And I asked the question about, is the Holy Spirit ever going to tell you to do something that disagrees with Scripture? Because it's murder, and God spoke to Abraham directly in that case, so it's not really apples to apples. And that's the bigger question. What does Scripture say? Well, John 15 says, what's greater love than one man would lay down his life for another? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. You can also join us on Facebook Live, where we have a kind of a sidebar conversation on the commercial breaks. And that's really become a neat little community. So if you'd like to join us there, just jump over to your Facebook app or whatever way you get onto Facebook, and odds are pretty good that you do. It's just the reality. And you can just put in the search box, Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, and you'll find us and just like the page and jump on over there. So if you like the page, when I'm posting and stuff, you'll get that information. And we can communicate there. When people send me notes through Facebook, I always reply. And I've had just some great God-honoring and neat blessing kind of conversations there, and been blessed by people and been able to bless people in conversations through Facebook. So if you're a Facebook person, and I'd love to connect with you there. The Steve Noble Show is just it on Facebook. It's nice and easy. Plus, we do Facebook Live just about every day when I'm live on the air, which is just about all the time. And you can join us in the studio. And again, we have kind of an interesting sidebar conversation on the commercial break. So it's really been a neat blessing. Today, talking about a very difficult subject. How do you handle that abortion exception in the life of a mother? Southern Baptist Convention, just by an 80% to 20% vote, just agreed to amend their statement on it, saying that now, the dignity of every unborn child, and denounce every act of abortion except to save the mother's physical life. So how do you handle that one? And it is a Theology Thursday, and our friends at Southeastern are all loaded for bear starting next Thursday, so I look forward to that. We've got a stacked summer with professors here at Southeastern, which will be great, talking about a lot of Christian counseling issues. But today, staying in the theme of Theology Thursday, dealing with this very difficult ethical situation. 866-34-TRUTH is our phone number if you'd like to call in, especially moms, if you'd like to chime in on this one. Or dad, would you ask your wife to abort if it was going to look like it was going to save her life? And let's say you have multiple children. Look at my case. We have four kids. Let's say we were going to have a fifth. And they said, you know, Mrs. Noble, there's a high likelihood here that you're not going to survive this pregnancy. We think you should abort so you can continue to be the mother to your four kids and the wife to your husband. That would be me. And what would you like us to do? That's the type of situation we're talking about here. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to Laura and Raleigh. Laura, sorry I couldn't pick you up last time. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Oh, that's fine. I was just going to say that I think that the, you know, kind of knee-jerk reaction to that when you find out that you're pregnant and the life of that child may, in fact, end yours, is especially if you are already a mom and you have little kids and a husband and you already have these responsibilities, that the knee-jerk reaction is to think, I've got to protect them. But I think you have to filter it through the larger context of God's word and through who God says he is. And you have no idea if God is going to do something miraculous. The doctors may give you that diagnosis, but they're not infallible. And I think, you know, it could be just as, you could have something equally catastrophic happen in terms of like getting into an accident or getting a terminal illness unrelated to a pregnancy, and you're left with the same situation where your life is in peril and you've got responsibilities as a mother. But the big picture is, if God says no to murder, we have to go. That's where our faith comes in. We have to trust, our faith is that God is in control, and his will trumps our will. And so even though it would be easier to terminate, I think the right thing to do is to let it play out. That's my opinion.
Yeah, what a great point. Laura, thanks so much for calling in today and being a part of the show. Thanks for your patience. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Have you ever heard of Tim Tebow? Well, Tim Tebow's story, the fact that he's alive today, has something to do with our topic today as we discuss what the Southern Baptist did just the other day in Dallas. And I go to a Southern Baptist church, and my pastor, J.D. Greer, is now the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to ask him about this. But it passed 80% to 20% that they changed and added, except to save the mother's physical life for abortion, against all abortion, including rape and incest, except to save the life of the mother. What do you think of that? And what do you think of that decision, that issue in and of itself? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Moms, especially from you, I'd like to lean on you a little to call in and share how you would work through that yourself if you found yourself in that situation. And dads, if you want to respond as well, that would be great. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's jump over to Nikki, who's calling in again right here in my backyard today, Raleigh, North Carolina. Nikki, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My concern is most of the time the exception becomes the rules. That's what I'm afraid that the regulation may give opportunity to people to go to the hospital and ask for abortion. The only thing, I concur with what Laura said. The only thing I will say is that it is important to know that I will not let my wife go to the hospital and ask for abortion with a predicament that it is threatening his life, for instance. But unless we have, for instance, the council of three doctors that can state that if we don't take the baby out, she's going to die. But the first thing, I have to rely on God. But if a science also come up and say that if we don't do this, she's going to die. So in any way, if we keep the baby, if she die, the baby also going to die. And that's the only point I can see that exception being a little bit important. But I would not like to see it in the document such that that's almost putting in question God's authority and God's providence.
Yeah, so, and then Nikki, let me ask you this question: just in terms of the Southern Baptist Convention as a whole, how do you react to the fact that they were willing to, and by a large vote, 80% to 20%, add that to their official statement? So, speaking on behalf of 15 million Southern Baptists and 43,000 Southern Baptist churches, that they would go ahead and add this exception to their official statement on abortion. What do you think about that?
I'm not really comfortable by that addition because we are watering down the Word of God slowly, slowly. It's like we are adapting ourselves to the current culture. We are trying to see how we can accommodate people who may have a good reason to ask for abortion.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I have.
Got it. Nikki, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And here is another statement. This is Alan F. Guttmacher, MD, the father of Planned Parenthood, okay? This is a big deal. His name was used for Planned Parenthood's sister organization, the Guttmacher Institute, all right? So this is that guy, Alan Guttmacher. Here's what he said. Today, it is possible for almost any patient to be brought through pregnancy alive unless she suffers from a fatal illness such as cancer or leukemia. And if so, abortion would be unlikely to prolong, much less save life. That was actually, the Guttmacher said that. Okay, that's a pretty strong statement. And again, because of the unbelievable advances we've made in premature birth, at 5, 6, 7 months, obviously, cesarean section. Now they're saving babies that are a pound and a third, a pound and a half. It's amazing that we have the technology to do that, but we do. And of course, ectopic pregnancy, I'll talk about in the last segment of the show today, because I'll use something that the Catholic Church has done really well, which is the principle of double effect, which is really important here when we talk about ectopic pregnancies and some of these other things. But in this case, it's the Southern Baptist Convention. A friend on Facebook, or somebody actually texted me and said, curious what scriptural foundation they use for the resolution to add the amendment. They didn't use one. And Richard Land, who brought it up, actually his reasoning, his ethical reasoning, was horrible. And I'll let the good doctor here, one of my ethics professors, is going to prepare a piece on this. And I'll let him come in here and slice and dice through the terrible argument that Mr. Richard Land made in order to get this in there. But that same fact is, and I think part of this is part of the Me Too movement in general, just that atmosphere that we're in. And with the Southern Baptist Convention and what just happened with Paige Patterson and some of the other leaders there, with what they said and about abuse in the marital relationship and stuff like, so there's this sensitivity to women, which there should be, okay, complementarianism and women in leadership, the proper leadership roles, things like that. But that being the environment, it doesn't surprise me, although it does radically disappoint me, that 80% of the people, there were like 7,000 people voting, just were like, oh yeah, let's just throw the exception in there. No argument, no nothing. They just did it. Hey, this is we're just going to add this except to save the mother's physical life, but we're still against all the other abortion stuff. But in this case, and they just did it, 80 to 20%. And now that becomes the official statement of the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, it's not the official statement of this Southern Baptist, I can tell you that. Let's jump over to, let's go to Wade, who's calling in from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Wade, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, I just had a hypothetical question for you. Suppose you came home from work one day and walked into your house, and your teenage son was pointing a gun at your wife, saying, I'm going to shoot you in 5 minutes. And the only way you could prevent it was to shoot your son. Now, should you shoot him to protect your wife, or should you go ahead and let him shoot her in order to keep him from being killed?
Well,
and I realize that analogy has some problems because a baby doesn't have malicious intent.
Right.
But
I think I understand your point, Wade. And yeah, I'm going to talk about it when I come back. I'm going to talk about it on the other side of the break, Wade. Thanks for calling. I'm going to talk about that on the other side of the break. And what Wade just said, malicious intent, makes all the difference in the world. I've got a murderer in my house who happens to be my son. A baby is not a murderer. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show, talking about one of the most difficult topics today that we could talk about, and that's an abortion. In the case of saving the life of the mother. Now, back, if you look through over the history of abortion and abortion law in this country, especially since Roe v. Wade in 1973, and I teach this in one of the in the ethics class that I teach to high school age homeschoolers here where I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, there's been for the health of the mother. That was the language early on, that you could allow for abortion in order to if it negatively impacts the health of the mother, and the health of the mother could be mental, emotional, or physical. That's where we were a few decades ago, just the health of the mother. Then it became the life of the mother, and that's the common exception that we have today. And, of course, I'm bringing this up today on Theology Thursday here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is a Southern Baptist seminary where my studio happens to be located, because just the other day in Dallas at the annual convention, Resolution 6 on reaffirming the full dignity of every human being brought up by Richard Land, who used to run the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention, he wanted to add this particular amendment, resolve that we affirm the full dignity of every unborn child and denounce every act of abortion, which is the way that Southern Baptists have believed for decades now. But he added this, except to save the mother's physical life. That's an exception, okay? So we're against all abortion, including rape and incest, in the case of rape and incest, except if it's to save the life of the mother, then we're okay with abortion. Or let me rephrase that, with the malicious murder of an unborn child, okay? And Richard Land brings it up. They don't allow any room for argument. They take a vote. It passes 80 to 20%, which I think is disgusting. And one of my ethics professors here at Southeastern is very upset about it, and he's going to be writing about it, and that'll be kind of a little public thing. And once he's ready to get that out there, we're going to have him on the show, and we'll walk back through it, because it's a really, really important, a great lesson ethically to understand this and how to work through it. Let me jump over here to Dan, who's calling in. Hey, Dan, you're on with Steve. Sorry to keep you on hold. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. I just wanted to praise that lady that called in. I think she was so biblically accurate about everything she said, and to add to it, you know, this is a very difficult to explain to somebody that is not saved and doesn't know what God says about abortion and murder and everything else. And the other fellow that commented on his son being there, well, being a Christian, that's a terrible situation, but depending on how much time and if I could talk him out of it, you know, it's always Jesus, and then it would be my wife, and then my son. If he had the gun in that situation, well, he might get to meet Jesus a little bit quicker than he anticipated. So
yeah,
anyway,
and obviously,
and
that's a great point, Dan. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. And yeah, malicious intent. Going back to the last caller's point, you know, you come home and your obviously crazy son has a gun to your wife, said, "I'm going to kill her in 5 minutes." For whatever reason. And what do you do? You know, he's trying to set this up as a moral equivalent kind of same situation, except in this case, the kid has malicious intent. The baby does not. So that's a non-starter. It doesn't go anywhere. So in that case, what do you do? If I have a gun, of course, I'm going to try to stop my son without killing him. And if it happens to kill him, I mean, just a horrible scenario, obviously, right? But in this case, the son has malicious intent towards his mother. In the cases we're talking about in abortion, there's no malicious intent. There's no malicious intent by the kid. So the mother's not protecting herself from her son in that case, or her daughter. There's no malicious intent. So it's not the same situation. So that example kind of falls apart and doesn't really apply there. One thing I wanted to tell you on this particular issue, I mentioned Tim Tebow earlier. Tebow's parents, Pam and Bob Tebow, I'm reading from an article in the Jacksonville newspaper from several years ago, met as University of Florida students in the late 1960s, according to a 2007 article. A year later, they went on their first date to the Georgia-Florida game and married in 1971, Pam skipping graduation to tie the knot. In 1985, the Tebows moved to the Philippines with their four children to serve as missionaries. Pam Tebow became ill with amoebic dysentery, which is usually transmitted from contaminated drinking water. She fell into a temporary coma and received strong drugs to combat the infection, the Sun reported. Those drugs resulted in severe placental abruption, in which the placenta detaches from the uterine wall. That condition can deprive the fetus of oxygen and other necessary elements. When it was discovered she was pregnant, doctors stopped the drugs but said that the high doses of medicine had already damaged the fetus, the Sun reported. The account is also part of Tim Tebow's recent bestseller, Through My Eyes. That's a few years ago. Because they believed the baby would not survive, doctors recommended an abortion so that Pam Tebow's life would not be risked. They thought I should have an abortion to save my life from the beginning all the way through the 7th month, she told the Sun. She refused the abortion because of her faith. She prayed that she and her husband would have a healthy son. A much-debated 2010 Super Bowl commercial sponsored by Focus on the Family shows Pam Tebow saying that she almost lost the baby many times, but she never mentions the word abortion. Bob Tebow told Sports Illustrated, "I prayed, God, if you give me a son, if you give me Timmy, I'll raise him up to be a preacher." And he kind of is. Pam Tebow went to Manila, the Philippine capital, during her 7th month and remained under bed rest on August 14th, 1987. She gave birth to Timmy Tebow. And there you go. So they decided to throw down with God's providence one way or the other. And that's where it gets difficult, you know? It's easy to talk about this thing and take a position outside of it. But when you're in there and it's your life, and I mentioned this earlier, I was talking to my two middle kids, age 20, my daughter Amelia is 20, and my son Clay is 17. And I was telling them about this resolution that took place at the Southern Baptist Convention. And they asked me, would you really tell mom, let's say that you were going to have a fifth child and all four of us were born already, Hayden, Amelia, Clay, and Caroline, and we were already born and mom's pregnant with number 5, and the doctors are saying this pregnancy, high likelihood that it could end your life. Would you really tell mom to go ahead and have the baby and go through with it, when all of a sudden the four of us are going to lose our mother and you're going to lose your wife? Would you really tell her that? And that Amelia, my 20-year-old, was asking me that question, very serious. And I said, you know, because the man of the house, I get to change the rules a little bit. I said, okay, before I answer your question, let me ask you a question. Can you imagine your mom ever sacrificing any one of you as unborn children? Could you imagine that she would ever sacrifice you in order to save herself? And my daughter and my son both have said, no, she wouldn't. Well, nor would I ask her to. And I would agree with her position. You don't do that. You don't take an innocent life in order to save your own. As a matter of fact, Scripture calls us to the exact opposite. John 15, I think it is. The greater love has nothing more than this, than to lay one's life down for his brother. Another person, basically. The example of Jesus Christ himself, of course. And so the fact that the Southern Baptist Convention the other day just, no big deal, kind of casual. Hey, should we wear blue or red to the next convention? I don't know. Let's vote. 80% said blue. 20% said red. Okay, let's go. In this case, they decided to add this exception, which I don't agree with. I think it's a terrible decision. I think it's a dark mark on the Southern Baptist Convention to allow for any exception on abortion, rape, incest, and otherwise in the life of the mother, as difficult as it is. And again, take medical technology into it. We can have premature babies at such young ages and such small weights. And in this one case, this was back to this article I was reading from earlier. Now listen to this. It's a tough situation. Cicely Kellogg, 44, a writer who lives in Philadelphia, says that was the situation she faced when she was nearly 6 months pregnant with twin boys in 2004 and developed severe preeclampsia. That's when your blood pressure can just collapse and your organs fail. One fetus had already died and my liver had shut down. My kidneys had shut down and they were expecting me to start seizing at any minute, she says. The doctor said that they had to quickly dilate her cervix and perform an abortion to save her. I fought it, she says, but they told me I would die, that it was either me and my son or just my son. She says it was a horrible experience, but the right thing to do. She and her husband had a daughter later in 2006. So in that case, I was asking, and maybe some of you know this question, the answer to this question, how fast an emergency C-section, that's like lickety-split, right? They can do that so quickly. To dilate, even to quickly dilate a woman's cervix at 6 months, that's not that quick. There's no way that an emergency C-section doesn't happen more quickly, I'm snapping my fingers, more rapidly than having to go through dilating her cervix to perform an abortion. Emergency C-section, unfortunately, you pull one dead child out, you pull the other child at 6 months, we could easily, even back in 2004, 12 years ago, there's a good chance that child's going to survive, and you're dealing with the wife at the same time. And I'm not trying to make light of any of this, as a man especially. But again, back to what some of my callers said earlier, what you said earlier in terms of who are we going to trust? Are we going to trust God's sovereignty? Or are we not? And that's not always easy, is it? Of course not. Ectopic pregnancy, that's the one that I wanted to finish with. And I mentioned the Catholic Church's principle of double effect. One of the bulwarks used to defend abortion, this is an article I'm reading, Culture of Life Foundation, is that sometimes it's necessary to save the life of the mother. The therapeutic abortion is what it's called. At first blush, this is a compelling argument and has led many people to support a procedure that they would otherwise oppose. But is this argument correct? Is abortion ever really necessary to save the life of a mother? Imagine a pregnant woman diagnosed with uterine cancer and the only treatment alternative is a hysterectomy, which would likely save her life, but surely end the life of the child. Absent any action, both are expected to die. In such an instance, is the loss of the child permissible? The answer is simple, but the logic is worth understanding, okay? The answer lies in the distinction between intentionally killing the child, which is never okay, and removing the uterus with the child from his mother so that her life might be saved and then doing all things possible to save the child's life. That's what it means by double effect. The principle of double effect, one good and one bad. Before it can be taken, it has to meet certain conditions, but basically what you're doing there, in this case, is saying, if you're going to deal with an ectopic pregnancy where you have to go in and remove that part of the fallopian tube, you're not going. Your intention is not to go in there and kill the child. You know that highly likely that the child is going to die, but that's not your intent. Your intent is to save the life of the mother, and in the process, unfortunately, heartbreakingly, the child dies. That's what you're getting into with the principle of double effect. Very difficult topics, which is why we talk about them, why we take calls on them, and why we have to research them and show ourselves approved by using Scripture for all of it. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.